remain standing, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4 for our scripture reading this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. Appreciate the songs this morning already. Amen. And I'm glad we can live by faith. Amen. We don't have to live in fear. Brother Bell preached on that 2 weeks ago today, I guess that's right, right? And preached on that very thought about God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind. Of course, he dealt with love, but the fact that we don't have to live in fear, we can live by faith. Faith in the Son of God. Now, people say, you know, put faith in yourself. Well, you'd be a lot wiser to put faith in the Lord. Amen. And be careful about trusting yourself. Amen. I hope you're trustworthy, but if you're honest, you know that you have potential to fail. Amen. Somebody said, they asked a man a question, said, do you believe that a man, even a good man, even a religious man, can sin? He said, well, there's two things. If you have a memory and you're honest, you'll have to say, yep, a man can fail. Amen. I'm glad we don't have to. Amen. And God didn't make Adam to fall. Adam did not have to fall. Adam failed. Amen. And we may fall, but he didn't make us to fall. Amen. And I'm glad that we're not going to be able to lay the blame at his feet. The blame falls on us if we do fail. Now, if we succeed, we ought to give him the glory because it's all grace. Amen. And just the goodness of God. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 1. We'll read down through these verses this morning. Been looking at this. We call it the temptation of Christ in the wilderness now for some time. Today, I'm going to finish up verse number 4. I'm going to finish with this first attack of the devil and the temptation of Christ in the wilderness. Today, I've titled my message, Christ's Victory Over the First Attack. Christ's victory over the first attack in the temptation. Then, Bible says, verse number 1 of Matthew chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hall, would you lead us, please?
Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for loving us.
Thank you, Lord, yes.
Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of life and the stories of honor.
Yes.
Yes.
Help, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I certainly do appreciate that prayer. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, we're going to try to finish up today the thought from verse number 4. In particular, these are the words of our Lord. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Christ won the victory over that first attack of the devil in the temptation. I've been looking at this really more in depth than I intended to be honest with you. But as we looked at it, I've seen some things that brought to my mind some helpful things, and some of it reminder. Matter of fact, a lot of it, it's elementary. It's nothing way out there, but we're living in a day when we need those elementary truths. We need those foundational things that we might make sure that the foundation's not destroyed, that it's not eroded out from under us, that we're not pulled down because that we've not paid attention to the foundation. So we're going to deal with that again this morning. That phrase, it is written, was the punch and the power behind the words that Jesus goes on to say. Jesus did not defeat the devil in His own word. If I can separate, I understand Jesus is God, you understand that, but I'm talking about He's in His human form. This is Jesus, if I can say it, the man speaking to the devil, and He does not defeat him with man's words. He defeats him with God's words. Amen. Now, this is the Son of God using God's words, but it is also a man using God's words to deflect the arsenal, the attack of the devil, to deflect that fiery dart that the devil has flung towards him. He has used a shield, which is a shield of faith. He's using a shield that has faith in the Word of God, and then a sword that is the Word of God, that is his armor that can help him defeat the devil. That, by the way, it'll help you and I the same. Some said this morning already in the Sunday school hour, as Joshua taught about the power of the Word of God, the influence of the Word of God, and the importance, the inspiration of the Word of God, and those things. I want to say it again. We're in a new part of a new year. I want to remind you, don't forget your Bible. Read your Bible every day. You need your Bible today more than you've ever needed it. Amen. Amen. I read this. I was talking about reading that sermon that man read. It was in a biography that I'm reading. And in that biography, it told about this man was on a train, and the man sitting next to him had a newspaper. He's reading the newspaper, and the preacher, trying to instigate a conversation, said to that man, he said, do you know the difference between that newspaper and a Bible? And the man said, well, not really. What's the difference? And he said, well, you can read both of them. They're both for you to read. They both have information, and it may be information that's needful. But he said, will you read that same newspaper tomorrow? And the man said, no, there'll be another paper tomorrow. He said, that's the difference. He said, you can read your Bible tomorrow, and it'll be just as up date tomorrow as it was yesterday. Amen. And that's true. That's true. The Bible does not get old, and the Bible does not get stale, although the world will say that it does, and it's just because of language. By the way, the fact, it's not that they don't like how it's said, they don't like what is said. That's, amen, that's their problem, and so they want to change it. Matter of fact, it's interesting to me how these people that go to using other versions, almost every time they'll say, well, I like the way this one says it. There's the key. That's the key. They like the way this one says it. They didn't like the way this one says it. Say amen right there. Amen. Amen. And the problem's not with the Bible. The problem's not with the way it says it. The problem's in the way they're living. Amen. Amen. Well, imagine trying that. You go in somewhere and it says exit only. You try to go in that way. It says exit. You say, I don't like the way that one says it. I like the way this one says it better. Amen. You don't get to choose. What it says is what it says. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been looking at this statement, this fact of the devil's first attack against Christ in the wilderness of temptation. And we looked at Christ's answer, and most recently as we've studied it. I mentioned to you that I don't believe that this contains all the attack. I don't believe that it all just happened to the last day of the 40 days of temptation. It appears to me that Mark and Luke both say that Christ was tempted the entirety of those 40 days. But I do believe that those 40 days and 40 nights as He fasted in the wilderness, that the devil tried different attacks, different attempts, perhaps using different of his ministers, of his angels that came to Christ. And yet on that last and final day, he came in person in order to ratchet it up, in order to try to make things even harder on the Lord. He made a personal attempt to defeat our Lord and Savior, and he was personally defeated that day rather than our Lord being defeated. Amen. We saw in verse number 3 Satan's big if. That's what I called it. His big if. When he proposed to Christ, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. I pointed out to you that I believe Satan's grand strategy over the whole thing was to get Christ to doubt God's word, to doubt God's love, amen, and in that way to act on the behest of Satan rather than to act in the will of God, amen. Either to act the way Satan wanted to or the way the human will would like to go rather than following the word of God and trusting the will of God. It's true, Jesus was hungry. Our text says that. He was afterward and hungered, the Bible says in verse number 2. He was hungry. But he was not willing to bow to the will of the devil. Amen. We talked about the deceptiveness of the devil's bait. How he hides the hook and he tries to catch us with those sometimes multiple sharp barbs that are on that hidden bait that the devil throws out there. Well, as we've studied this most recently, we've looked at verse number 4, noting our Lord's answers, Christ's answer to that first attack. And I've mentioned to you how firmly that Jesus stood upon the Word of God and how firmly he trusted in the Father. I'm not going to deviate from that because that is the powerful point that is there. I mentioned to you that Jesus even trusted Old Testament Scripture. He didn't think that the Old Testament Scripture would not work in a New Testament day. Amen. Our Lord Jesus was not a hyper-dispensationalist. Amen. He didn't say, well, Deuteronomy was written just to the Jews and was just for them while they was wandering in the wilderness. No, Jesus believed that the book of Deuteronomy would work in his day. By the way, it did work in his day, and it'll still work to this day. Amen. By the grace of God. Amen. He used that Old Testament passage of Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 3 and declared that man's only hope was to believe and to stand upon every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, man's got to stand on God's Bible. That's what he's got to stand on. Amen. And I pointed out that those scriptures do still work. Amen. I also pointed out to you that the devil instigated his attack by saying, if thou be the Son of God. He wanted Christ to show him his godhood, if I could say it that way. His credentials of being the Son of God. But the answer Christ gave to him and the verse that Christ gave to him was not talking about how the Son of God was to live, but talking about how man was to live. Because Christ was not walking in the wilderness as the Son of God. I'm not saying that he wasn't the Son of God. Please don't misunderstand that. But he was there to be tempted to prove that he was not just the Son of God, but that he was man and that he was going to submit to God as man. Amen. And so he used that text, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He placed himself, by the way, that's why he placed himself in the line of John the Baptist, to be baptized of John. Why did he need to be baptized by John if he's the Son of God? I'll tell you why. Because he's come to represent man. He's come to represent sinful man. Although he never sinned, he was just like us, except without sin. Amen. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Now, today I want to try to bind all those thoughts together and bring to you 2 points if I can. And I'll try not to be too long. I've already been a little bit long in my introduction. I'll try not to be too long in these 2 thoughts to lay out to you that I believe would be helpful to you and I as well. First of all, my first point is this. Faith is the victory. Amen. Interesting that Brother Bell's up here got his songbook out and he's looking up songs. He laid his book down. I said, Brother Bell, could we sing an extra special right before I preach? Could we sing that song, Faith is the Victory? And he held up the book and he had it open to that song, Faith is the Victory. That was what he's going to sing first. I said, go ahead. That'll be all right. Amen. Amen. I believe that's the hand of God. That's confirmation of how that it is to be. Faith is the victory. Then we sang that last song, living by faith. That's how we can live in the victory side, is by believing the Word of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 4 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. I've said that men can fall, but I want to say to you again, you don't have to fall if you'll walk by faith and not by sight. If you'll walk in the Spirit and live in the Spirit, you don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. Amen. Well, that's the question. How did Jesus deliver himself from the trap that Satan laid for him in the wilderness? How did he deliver himself from the snares that were laid before him in the wilderness? Here's how he delivered himself. By believing the Word of God. He rested in the Word of God. Amen. He rested in the Scriptures. He grasped by faith. Man doth not live by bread only. That's how Deuteronomy says it. Amen. He grasped by faith. Man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He believed that. He grasped that by faith. Man does not just need the bread. Matter of fact, more than he needs bread, he needs the Word of God. That's what he's saying. More than his necessary food is the Word of God. Amen. And by grasping and resting on those words, Christ overcame his enemy. Amen. He withstood the enemy by grasping those words. He found the promises of God to be solid ground on which to stand. Amen. Amen. Jesus trusted that God had led him into this wilderness. He was led of the Spirit, the Bible said, into the wilderness. He wasn't there on his own will. He wasn't there because of some decisions that he had made. He was in the will of God in the wilderness. And he was trusting that if he's there in the wilderness and he's hungry and there's no bread there, there's only stones there, he's trusting the fact that God knows best, and God that brought him in can bring him out in his own good time. Amen. Or the God that allowed him to go in there, I'll say the God that put him in there, can sustain him however long that he's in there. Amen. Amen. He had confidence that God was at work there. He had endured 40 days and 40 nights of hunger. And he'd rather endure 40 days more than to surrender to the devil. Amen. You've heard people say, oh, if this would just end, if this would just end, I'd do anything if this would just end. You're in a dangerous position then. Amen. I remember hearing a man, and some of you may, they sent out these, I had a cassette tape, and then they made a video tape of it later. This man, Dave Reaver, I think he's Pentecostal, Church of God background, and he was in Vietnam War. He was a Navy SEAL, had a white phosphorus grenade go off in his hand, blew his face off, his chest off, but he lived. And anyway, goes through his whole story. He talks about how he came to the altar. When he came home, he had multiple surgeries. He came to the altar, and in that altar, he gave God an ultimatum. He said, God, if you don't, he said, you got to heal me or else. God, I've got to be healed. God, you've got to heal me or else. And he said, it's as if God, in utter silence, said, or else what? Or else what? And he said, I said it again. God, you got to heal me or else. And God said, or else what? And he said, I walked away from the pulpit or from the altar area, walked to the back door, ready to leave, not knowing how to answer it. And he said, I said, or else I'll serve you in this mangled up body that you allow me to stay in. Because that's right. That's the only answer, by the way. That's the only answer. We don't give God ultimatums. If God put us in the fire, thank God He can preserve us in the fire. Amen. If He wanted to, He could keep us out of it. But if not, that's what those three Hebrew children said. That's where we've got to get in our faith. But if not, Lord, I know You can heal. Lord, I know You can deliver. Lord, I know You can perform a miracle. But if not, I'm still going to stand on the Word of God. I'm still going to go forward in the will of God, standing on the Word of God. That's what Jesus said. So he it's as if he's saying he'd rather endure 40 more days of hunger than to bow to the devil. Amen. He knew that God could feed him with or without bread. Amen. God could sustain him with or without bread. He knew he could trust the Father. And by the way, that is an impenetrable breastplate. When you put on that armor of God, you're fully trusting God. I'm telling you, that is impenetrable. The devil cannot get through with his fiery darts. The Bible talks about that shield being able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen. All the fiery darts. Well, Christ did not fall to the snare of the devil. And so now the devil was obliged to devise another project. Amen. And we'll look at that. Lord willing, we'll start looking at that tonight. Amen. Well, the devil, I believe, had a hope. Maybe he had imagined that he might be able to persuade Christ to comply to his wishes and to follow his plan. But now he's seen Christ is not going to fall for it. Amen. Christ had believed the declaration of the Father, not just what the Father had said on the riverbank when he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." He didn't just believe that. He believed what the Father had said way back yonder in the same type of wilderness situation back those many years before when God had spoke to Israel that God would provide for them. Amen. Man can live not just by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. He knew that God could provide food for him without bread. He knew God could provide water for him without water if he wanted to. Amen. And he had Scripture to prove it. Because God had not only done it for those 40 days, he had done it for 40 years for the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. Amen. There wasn't bakeries on every corner. Dunkin' Donuts and Krispy Kreme donut shops on every corner in the wilderness. Amen. I knew that'd get your attention. Amen. They wasn't all those, but God provided bread every morning, the Bible said. Amen. Every morning, 6 days a week, God provided bread for the children of Israel. Not just 1 week, not just 1 month, not just 1 year, but for 40 long years, God provided that bread. When they came to a place with no water, God had a rock that apparently followed them, the Bible said, in the wilderness, amen. And God provided water out of that rock. I'm telling you, God, when there seems to be no way, God can make a way. You can trust God. That's the point I'm making. You can. You can trust God. Jesus stood His ground that He could trust the Father. Amen. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter number 8, if you will. I mentioned that that's the text that our Lord used. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. And verse number 3 was the verse he quoted. I want to read verses 2 and 3 this morning. I want you to look at them just a moment. Just take a glance at it. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 2. You know the book of Deuteronomy is the re-giving or the rehearsal of the law. The law was given in Exodus, clarified in Leviticus, and rehashed, rehearsed in Deuteronomy. Not changed, just reminding them what the law had said. Look at verse number 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Amen. 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 Our Lord went to that text and he reminded the devil of that text. In that text, God was reminding the people of Israel. He was announcing to the people of Israel that He had led them through this wilderness. Christ put Himself there, being led of God in the wilderness. That He had led Him there to humble Him. Can you imagine how possible it would be to be filled with pride when you've just been baptized at the hands of John the Baptist and coming up out of the water? All of a sudden, there's the Spirit of God descending like a dove that people could actually see, that they would know. Matter of fact, John said that's how he knew that was the Christ, when he saw the Spirit of God descend upon him, and that Spirit of God descended upon him, then a voice from heaven, I imagine, thundered from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I'm not saying that Christ was proud. He was not proud, but God brought him in that place to humble him. Amen. He's taking his place among the lowly and the humble. This is part of him not thinking it robbery to be equal with God, but making himself of no reputation. He left the crowd. He left the city. He left the popularity. He left the public. And he went into a private place. And he went into a secluded place. He went into a lonely place where the devil could tempt him, but where God could humble him. He said it was to humble him. And he said it was to prove them. Amen. To prove them. To show what was in their heart. That's what he said. Whether they would keep his commandments or not. It's as if Christ was saying this. His own wilderness experience was to humble him as a humble man. It was to prove him. Amen. To prove him not just to himself and not just to the world, but to the spirit world. To the enemy that he had come to face. He's not afraid to face the enemy face to face, alone, unarmed, if I could say it that way. He's willing to face the enemy face to face and to prove that he will stand on the Word of God. To prove that he will have confidence in the Word of God. Again, I say faith is the victory. Amen. Christ did not have to turn the stones to bread. He knew he didn't have to. God could take care of him any way he chose. By the way, God's pretty good at feeding his people. Amen. He's pretty good at feeding his people. He did it not only in the wilderness for those 40 years. You remember when Elijah is out yonder by the brook Cherith, and the country's in a drought. It's not raining for 3 years there. It's not raining at all. How does Elijah get fed? He didn't have to turn stones to bread. He had ravens. God had already commanded the ravens. He said, "To feed thee there." Amen. God has a way of feeding his people. He don't have to do it the same way twice. Amen. Amen. Then when the brook dried up, it wasn't that the ravens ran out of bread. It wasn't that God couldn't take care of him by the brook, but God chose to move him on to a widow in Zarephath to make a point, and he fed him there out of an empty meal barrel. He just made the meal keep on multiplying. I'm saying, you can trust God when it seems there's no way you can see it can work. When the world says it is scientifically impossible to believe God, you can still believe God. Amen. Christ trusted him. Amen. Might seem like a large thing to trust God with, but it's a small thing for him to take care of it. Amen. Amen. Faith is the victory. Number two, true faith produces obedience. Amen. There's no such thing as faith without obedience. No such thing. True faith produces obedience. Back to our text, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." That's how man is to live. Not just how man is to think, not just how man is to hope, not just how man is to imagine. That's how man is to walk. That's how man is to work. That's how man is to function in his world, is by believing the Word of God. Christ proved that it is not bread that we eat for the support of our body that is essential for life. It is spiritual food from God's Word that is essential to life. Amen. God makes bread nourish us. I understand that. But did you know You can be among the best baked goods. You can be among the best foods in the world and still not be able to get nourishment from it. The only way food does nourish your body is that God makes it so. That's right. God makes it so. I know they can come up with all these ideas about the different vitamins and minerals and things that's in all this stuff. Thank God. But who put those things in there? God made it in there.
Right.
And God makes it so. God can supernaturally override that if He chooses to. Amen. Amen. But what we need is not just that physical thing. That's what I'm saying. What we need is the Word of God. You can be poor and weak in the midst of an abundance of food. Or God can see to it that you're fat and satisfied, like me. Even when there ain't no food on the table. Amen. He can. He can fix it so that you can be healthy and well in spite of the food. I go back, Daniel. Daniel's a good testimony of that. Daniel said he purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with the king's meat. I'm telling you, don't you think the king had some very savory meat? He had some very, very elegant meals prepared for those men. Daniel said, we're not eating that. He said, we're going to abide by the laws of our God and our nation. And so they begged and pleaded that they might be fed with just pulse and water. And the Bible said when they was done, they was fatter, praise God. They was healthier than all that other crowd. Amen. Amen. And in a sense, I'm making a joke about being fat and it being funny, but God can make us healthy in spite of the fact that it seems like everything around us is unhealthy. Isn't it amazing that God has allowed some people to walk in the midst of terrible diseases and be able to minister and help people that had the disease and them not come down with it themselves? Thank God. I was thinking about this the other day. When I was sick, my wife wasn't sick. And I was praying all the time she didn't get sick. Amen. Amen. Because I'm a baby. When I'm sick, I need help. Amen. And if she's sick, she's out of luck. I'm still a baby. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But isn't it amazing that mamas generally don't get sick when their children are sick? Amen. God provides somehow. Maybe they'll pass it around. I know in families, that happens a lot of times. One gets it and they pass it on and pass it on and pass it on. And it's hard to ever get rid of the thing because it keeps going around. But it's a blessing of God that God allows, and it's just in His grace that He allows somebody to be healthy enough to take care of those that are sick. It's in the plan of God. Well, I'm going back to this thing. Faith is the victory, and faith produces obedience. All right, I'm trying to get to that point about faith producing obedience. When we find ourselves in want of this world's goods, when we find ourselves even hungry for the necessities of life, not just things we would like to have, but the necessities of life, I'm glad we can lay hold to the truth of God's Word, that God's Word will stand. God can nourish us with His Word. Amen. His Word can protect us against the onslaughts of the wicked one. His Word can protect us against the assaults of the devil. Amen. By us just simply obeying God. Can I say this? If you believe God, you will obey God. And if you disbelieve God, you will disobey God. I'll take you all the way back to the first temptation. Eve in the Garden of Eden. If Eve had just believed God, when the devil said, yea, hath God said, the serpent said, yea, hath God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden. Eve said, you're not supposed to not only eat it, she said not only not touch it, lest you die. The devil said, thou shalt not surely die. That's what he said. In other words, you don't really believe that to the nth degree, do you? And because she disbelieved the Word of God, she disobeyed the Word of God. Here's the other side. Because she believed the devil, she obeyed the devil. Amen. Because belief affects behavior. What you believe will determine how you behave. It will. Amen. Here's another way of saying it. It's another alliterated way to help us. Not only belief affects behavior, doctrine affects your doing. If you really believe something, it'll affect how you behave. If you don't believe it, it'll show up in how you don't obey it. Amen. Just on and on and on we could go and see that. True faith produces obedience. Sometimes God in His omniscient will, He knows the best. He allows us to be in want. Sometimes He allows us to find ourselves in a wilderness experience. Amen. In a place where we are in need, not just in want, not just that we would like to have, but we're actually getting serious. Seriously severe situation where we're actually in need. God may allow His children to get there. You know, there are times, there have been times when men have not been able to find work. Amen. People today, a lot of people can't find jobs today. Sometimes it's because they're not willing to take the jobs that are there. Amen. I remember counseling a couple years ago, and the man was without a job, and it was really affecting his family. And he asked me, he said, "What should I do, preacher?" And here's what I said. I said, "I'd go to McDonald's in the morning, and I'd offer to flip burgers till another job comes open." You know what he did? He went to McDonald's, and they was hiring. Praise God. Amen. They had that sign up, hiring smiling faces. I wish they'd keep doing that. Amen. But they hired, and he got a job, and he got a better job after that. By the way, if you'll do something, you might find something better down the road. Amen. Amen. But there comes a time sometimes when you can't even find a burger joint to flip burgers at. There have been times in American history when we may get there again, when jobs are slim. Amen. When it's hard to find job opportunities, hard to find work, and by the way, those rewards that come from that work and that labor, may come a time in your life and my life when we're not physically capable of doing those things. Amen. God may allow us to get there. What are we going to do then? Well, I tell you what we better do. We better keep on trusting God. Amen. There comes times that we get in that wilderness experience when the bills pile up, financial difficulties arise. We find out either we've made some bad decisions and now the old saying, the chickens are coming home to roost. Amen. One fellow said this. He said, when you have made bad decisions and you find yourself in that place, he said, you'd be better off asking God for pardon than asking God for protection going through it. Amen. Just tell him you're sorry. You got yourself there. That's just truth in some of that. But sometimes these problems overwhelm us. Our credit is stretched. We're overextended. We find ourselves in a bad place. What are we going to do? Tell you what we better do. Don't fall out of trusting God. Keep on trusting God. Amen. Amen. We might find ourselves in the wilderness of temptation. Here's what the devil will say. The devil will say, you know, you could just defraud. You could just steal something. You could just take something. You could just turn these stones into bread. There's something you can do. If we really believe God, if we really do believe God, we can say, no, devil, I'm not going to go against God's word. Amen. I'm not going to go against God's word. I'm going to trust God that God's going to see me through. Amen. And God does. Amen. The devil is good at slipping up to you when you find yourself in difficulty and whisper in your ear and say this, God has forsaken you. God has let you down. Here you are out on a limb and the limb's about to be sawn off. You're on your own now. That's what the devil whispers. I'll tell you what you can do. You can say, you know what? There's a word in the Bible that says, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. You can stand on that word of God. Amen. Amen. You can stand on the fact that He said there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. You can stand on that fact that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I am the Lord. I change not. Amen. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You can stand on those words of God. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, if you want to turn over there. Matthew chapter 6, just a couple of pages. Verses 31 through 33. In that Sermon on the Mount, we've looked at it already in the past, but listen to this statement. Therefore, verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? That's what was it. What am I going to eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Those are the words of Jesus. You can stand on those words. Now that phrase, verse 31, started off with the word therefore, and it's there for a purpose. Here's what he's saying. God took care of the fowls of the air, and you're worth more than the fowls of the air are to God. God not only feeds the fowl of the air, God clothes the grass of the field. That's what he said. And you're of much more value to God than the grass of the field is. You can stand on the fact, I can trust God. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I can keep on trusting God. Amen. We can trust God and we can do God's will. Stay true to what God has said to do, never worrying about the things we need. God will provide all that we need in His own time and in His own manner. What we're to do is just trust Him. Amen. When Satan throws that fiery dart of disbelief and distrust, you can hold up that shield and say, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen and amen. I could just go on and on. Let me just say this, and I'll wind her down. I love history, and I think we'd be wise to study history more than we do, to be honest with you. But throughout history, there have not just been a few, there have been multitudes of God's servants that have found themselves in dire straits. Much greater difficulties than we've ever faced. We think that phrase, it's the worst. How's your day? It's the worst. No, it could be a lot worse. And a lot of people, I'm talking about multitudes of people, have faced worse things than we've ever faced. And some of those people have clung tenaciously to the Word of God. They have hung on to the Word of God with unshaken confidence. Amen. Turn to Psalm chapter 136. I'll read you something that the psalmist said, and I'm almost done. Psalm 136. Israel was in a difficult situation, and God turned it around. I believe He turned it around because they believed God. Maybe it's like the song these ladies sang about praising God. That you won't praise Him if you don't really believe Him. Amen. Unshaken confidence. Psalm 126 verse 1. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. That's when God turned it around. He said, we were like them that dream. Look at this, verse 2. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Amen. I'm telling you, there can come a time even in the midst of your despair, even in the midst of that time that the devil's trying to make you doubt and the devil's trying to get you discouraged, there can come a time you can say, I'm going to trust God, and God can turn it around, and you can say, my mouth is filled with singing. Amen. I've got gladness in my soul because God's been so good to me. Amen. Amen. Man can live not by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Satan tempted Christ to prove His sonship by commanding the stones to be made bread. But Christ chose to allow God to prove it. He didn't have to prove Himself to the devil, and you don't have to prove yourself to any devil. Amen. I get amazed at how the world says, you know, if I could just see some big sign, I'd believe God. They're not interested in believing God. They just want it on their level.
Right.
Amen. Jesus was on the cross. What was he on the cross for? Dying for the sins of men. Isn't that right? They said, if you'll come down off the cross, then we'll believe in you. They wanted it on their terms. They're not going to get it on their terms. If you want a miracle, you're going to have to get it on his terms. You're going to have to believe the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, you say, preacher, can anybody be saved in 2019? Sure they can, if they'll believe the Word of God. Amen. If they'll take the Word of God and stand on the Word of God, people can be saved. People can be changed. I know, listen, sin seems so rampant and has such a hold on people. You look at people and say, how in the world can they ever get delivered? And by the way, some of the things they're doing is going to mark them and mar them the rest of their life. They'll carry scars to their grave. By the way, Brother Kuhn and I were talking yesterday. He brought up that thing about New York and them doing the thing about the abortion. And by the way, I read this. They said that when they announced that they're pushing that thing through, the governor is pushing it through, by the way, who's a Catholic, he ought to be excommunicated. If the Catholics believe anything, he ought to be thrown out. Amen. And by the way, he ought to be thrown out of office as well, anybody that believes anything. Amen. But they pushed that thing through that a baby can be killed up to the day it's due. And they added on an amendment that said if the baby lives, if the baby survives the abortion, then that baby can be murdered. They didn't use that word. That baby can be killed after surviving the abortion. You know what they said they did on the house, on the floor of the Senate? They stood up and gave it a standing ovation. The whole crowd applauded because they can kill babies that survive an abortionist, a murder attempt. God help that crowd. Joshua said, I don't know where he read it, he said they did an ultrasound over that whole government of New York and didn't find a heartbeat in the whole place. I said, that's right, there ain't a heart in the whole place. Amen. How can people get that wicked, that warped, that far out there? But I'll tell you how, because they don't believe the Word of God. They don't believe the Word of God. Matter of fact, they hate the Word of God. They're going to war against the Word of God. But here's where and I get fired up about it. We ought to get fired up about it. Amen. And I appreciate what Josh said. The Republicans should have this, should have defunded Planned Parenthood a long time ago when they had the power and said they'd do it. They should have done it. They should have done it. Every Planned Parenthood worker ought to be looking for jobs tomorrow. Amen. Had to kill baby on somebody else's dime. Amen. But here's where I was going. Those women that fall into that, Brother Kuhn said, it's got to be a cold-hearted woman that can kill her baby and never weep over it. But here's what I said. A lot of them can't survive what they have done. In a moment of weakness, in a moment of deception, they can do something that'll haunt them to their grave. I'm glad God can save. I'm glad God can forgive. It ain't going to change the scars. Amen. Amen. There's things you can do to your body that'll be a scar the rest of your life. I want to warn you, stay away from those things. Amen. But I do want to tell you again, thank God there's grace in the eyes of God. Amen. There's mercy in the hand of God, and God can still save even from the wicked, wicked, wicked world we're living in. God can still save. And people can still live for God. Amen. If you believe Him, you'll obey Him. If you disbelieve Him, you will disobey Him. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed and eyes closed as they come with a song. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. But true faith produces obedience. True faith produces obedience. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these folk being attentive and staying with us as we've looked at this again and again and again. And Lord, felt like you just drove us back to it one last time. Father, help us to stand on the Word of God. Help us take a stand against the wickedness of this world. Doesn't care what party. Doesn't care what platform. Lord, help us to stand on the Word of God. Thus saith the Lord. Please turn America back to Thee. Lord, I don't know. Sometimes I say, is America gone too far? And then I remember, as long as there's a God on the throne, there's a possibility of revival. As long as God's on the throne, there's a possibility of pardon. There's a possibility of repentance. There's a possibility of salvation. Lord, I pray, move in this invitation time according to Thy will. You know what's needed. I pray You'd accomplish Your work in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing. Some's in the altar. If you need to come and pray, I want to give you opportunity to do that while we sing.